Today's reading is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you very much, Fiona. Sundays like this, we call them all-age Sundays, which means we want there to be something for the older folk, but also particularly something for the younger folk. And I think what would help the younger folk is if they all came to the front to make sure they can see what is going on. Wonderfully, there are some special chairs for you, really sweet little chairs, little chairs like this. So it may not just be the little ones, but anyone of any age may want to sit on a little chair like this just because they're so sweet. Come to the front, come, make sure you get a good view so you can see all that's going on. And it'd be a great help to me if you could keep your Bibles open there at Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask the Lord's help that we would hear what he's saying to us this afternoon through his word. So as we sit, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you speak to us, your children, through your word. And we pray as we look at these verses together that by your Spirit, you would help us to see wonderful things about your Son, Jesus. We pray that what we see of him would change our hearts and change our minds and change our lives forever. In his precious name we pray. Amen. I'd like to introduce you to my friend, Wobbly Will. And the thing about Wobbly Will is he's not very strong. He just keeps getting, knocked over like that. He just keeps falling. He's a little bit wobbly. Wobbly Will, not very strong. And last week, for example, everyone was talking about how much fun they'd had at Charlie's party. And Wobbly Will realized he didn't even know Charlie had a party. He wasn't invited. And that really knocked him over because he thought he and Charlie were friends, but he didn't even get invited to the party. And then at church last week, over tea, everyone was talking to somebody, but nobody spoke to Wobbly Will. And that knocked him over. And he went home last Sunday feeling very lonely, very flat. And he really wanted someone to talk to last Sunday at church because it had been a really hard week. It had been the hardest week of Wobbly Will's life, actually, because that week his parents had split up and his father had left home. And he couldn't understand. Didn't his dad love him? Why was his dad leaving? And it knocked him over and it left him totally flat. More than anything else in the world, we want to be loved, don't we? When you know you're loved, it makes you strong. But when you're not sure, you kind of wobble, and you're very easily knocked over by things that happen. Now, if I was to do this, if I was to put some sand in the back of Wobbly Will, if you run with me on this. What difference do you think that would make? I'm putting some sand here, just so that you can see round the back how I've cleverly done this. You put the sand in the back. Okay, now what difference do you think that is going to make? If I knock Will now, what's going to happen, do you think? He's going to stand up. That's what we're hoping. See, it's kind of worked. I filled him with sand, and he's not wobbling so much. Now, he's not getting knocked over. And in this letter that we just heard read from a moment ago, Paul is writing to people a bit like Wobbly Will. Actually, people a bit like us. People who are not very strong. And people who are easily knocked over. And Paul says he's praying that God would make us strong so that we'd stand. Do you see in verse 16? He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. How is he going to strengthen us? How is he going to make us strong? Well, not by filling us up with sand, but by filling us up with Christ, with the Lord Jesus. Do you see what he says? He goes on, verse 16, he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And what is it about Jesus that he wants us to be full of? Do you see how he goes on in verse 17? And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Do you see? What is it about Christ that he wants our hearts to be full of? He wants our hearts to be full of the love of Christ. And he prays they would grasp the love of Christ. To grasp something means to hold on to it. And it's very easy to say, isn't it, oh, Jesus loves me, or to sing, Jesus loves me, but not to really grasp it, not to really hold on to it so that we take it into our hearts. And Paul is longing that these people he's writing to would be full of the love of Christ so that they would be strong. And you see where it's all heading, verse 19, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of Christ. He's praying that they'd be filled, not with sand, but with the God who loves us in Jesus Christ. Because that's the love we need. That's the love that makes us strong. That means we'll stand when we know we're loved by him. And you say, well, what is it about this love of Jesus that makes us strong? Well, do you see, the first thing he prays is they would grasp how wide the love of Christ is. Now, can I invite three people to join me at the front, please? I need three people just to join me and help me out. Who could come? You can come. You can come. That'd be great. So I've got, what's your name? Tell everyone your name loudly. Max. I've got Max here. Can I have two other? I can't quite see because I've got my glasses. I can't see who that is. I can see a friendly hand. Okay. I recognize you, Tim. And who's that there? Daniel. Come and join me. Now, what I'd like is the three of you, Tim as well, to just make yourself comfortable on this chair that I've got here. That's great. If you all just sit down. No, just make yourself comfortable. That's fine. And what's the problem? Not all of you can fit on. Why not? It's a lovely chair. It's too small. Too narrow, perhaps. What we need is a bit of width. What we need is some extra chairs. What happens if I give you these chairs? Right, all of you, make yourself at home now. Make yourself comfortable. How are you going to get on now? Brilliant. Brilliant. You just sit there comfortable, enjoying all the space, and let me say a little bit about how wide the love of Jesus is. You see, we live in a world where love is often very narrow, where people tend to love one type of a person. And if you're not the right type of person, there's not room for you. There's no space. And in the ancient world, it was a similar sort of thing. People had a narrow type of love. You either loved all the people who were Jewish, or you loved all the people who were not Jewish. And Paul is saying, do you know, Jesus loves Jewish people and non-Jewish people. There is a width to his love. There's room enough for everyone. So Jesus loves the type of people who've got jobs and the type of people who don't have jobs. Jesus loves the sort of people who are cool and the sort of people who are not that cool. Jesus loves the sort of people who make the team and the sort of people who don't make the team. He loves the sort of people who pass exams and he loves the sort of people who don't pass exams so much. The love of Christ is a wide love. Whoever you are, whatever you have done, whatever has been done to you, there is room enough in the love of Christ. There's space. It's wide. And Paul wants us to grasp that. He wants that to fill our hearts. And can you see how that makes you strong? Because maybe you feel that other people don't have room for you. You're not their type. And the danger is you think, well, Jesus is like everyone else. There's no room for me with Jesus. His love is a narrow love. No, his love is a wide love. Whoever you are, whatever you have done, there is room enough for you. Do you see how that makes you strong? You're welcomed in. And not only does Paul want us to grasp that, to take it into our hearts, but it gives us something to pray for our friends. Can you think of a friend of yours who is wobbling because they're feeling left out? Well, would you pray this for them? Pray that they would grasp how wide the love of Christ is. That's the first thing. It's wide. Sit down, guys. Thank you so much for your help. Not only is it wide, it's also long. Now, I need someone to come and help me with this. Okay, come and help me. Tell everyone your name.
Wilfie.
Okay, Wilfie, what I need you to do is grab the end of that and just take it just to the back of the hall. Okay? Go. Oh, I'm sorry about that. That's not as long as I thought it was. That's quite short, isn't it? I'm sorry about that, Wilfie. You sit down and let's have a think about that, because the thing is, some loves are quite short. They start very promisingly and then they stop. Then they break. So some loves, you get someone saying, I love you because you make me happy. And then you stop making them happy and they stop loving you. Or some people say, well, we love you because you do very well at exams. And then you don't do so well at exams and it seems like they stop loving you. Or some people say, we love you because you're very well behaved. And then you don't behave so well and it seems like they've stopped loving you. See, some loves start and then they stop. They break. How about this? I need another. Actually, Wilfie, do you want another go? You have another go. Have another go. See how we get on with this one, okay? See if you can take. See if you can beat the record of that one. See if you can take that down the corridor. Carefully, carefully, steadily. That's a good pace. Yes, I like that. Keep going. Keep going. Okay, you're going to need to turn right towards the coffee and tea facility. Just keep going. Keep going. And I don't know whether you... Do you know the way to down the high street? Just keep going. Just keep going. Keep brilliant. Stop there. But just, you see, it could have gone on and on and on and on. Some loves are very short, but Jesus' love is very, very long. It goes on and on and on and on, even down the high street. Back in chapter 1 of this letter, Paul has said to the Ephesians that Jesus' love for us started before the creation of the world, okay? Before you were even born, Jesus loved you. Now, before you were even born, what did you do to make Jesus love you? Nothing. There's nothing you could do. You weren't even born, yeah? So do you see, Jesus doesn't love me because of what I do for him. Jesus loves me just because of what he is like. And what he is like is he is made of love. And he will never change, which means he will never stop loving you. Other people might stop loving you, but Jesus never will. Now, do you see how when you take that in, it makes you strong? But also, it gives you something to pray for a friend. Maybe you've got a friend, someone you know, and someone else has stopped loving them, and it's knocking them. Would you pray that they would grasp how long the love of Christ is? They would grasp that Jesus will never stop loving them. His love is a long love. So what have we had so far? We've had wide, we've had long. Now, I know technically it says high next, but for sort of practical reasons, we're going to come to that. We're going to do deep next. How deep is the love of Christ? Okay, I have here a bowl. It's a brilliant bowl. Can everyone just have a little look? It's a brilliant bowl of food offcuts and rubbish, the sort of stuff you throw away into the bio bin. Yeah, it's porridge, and I think there's some cabbage leaves and potato peelings and some really attractive looking sort of red stain and probably some mushrooms and some carrots. Okay, so quite a sort of bowl of gunge. But in the bottom of the bowl, do you see what's there? Can anyone spot that? What? It's not rubbish. It's a Mars bar. There is a Mars bar at the bottom of this gunge. Okay, now, I need a very brave volunteer. Is anyone feeling brave enough to rescue the Mars bar from the bottom of the gunge? If you rescue it, you can keep it and obviously share it with your friends. Do you want to come and have a go? Yeah? Shout out your name so everyone can see, everyone can hear. Hannah, this is Hannah, and she's going to rescue the gunge. Just so that parents don't fret themselves, I've got, you know, baby wipes and towels and things like that to hand, okay? So Hannah, how are we going to do this? So we put it down there, and can you see where the Mars bar is? Where is it? Okay, so as you work out how you might plunge your arm in there and rescue the Mars bar. You have to go down deep. You have to go down deep. Deep is the word. Have you got it? Oh! She's done it, yes. Do you want to take back? Do you want to put that in there and take the wipes? And your mother's going to thank me for that. No, you can take the Mars bar. You can take the Mars bar. That's your reward. You have saved the Mars bar. And take the flannels and everything. Brilliant. Brilliant. Okay, we turn a blind eye to that. Where are we? Deep. Oh, yeah. Hannah just did an amazing thing. She plunged her arm deep down into the gunge to rescue the Mars bar. Okay? Friends, did you know that Jesus loves you so much that he was prepared to reach down even deeper than into that bowl of gunge? He reached down from heaven and he plunged himself into the gunge of this world. He was born as a baby in a stable. And that is a long way down. From heaven all the way down to being born as a baby in a stable is a long way down. But he went even further down, down to death on a cross. That is how far down his love reached to save you and me, to rescue you and me. And when you grasp that, it makes you strong. Because sometimes you think of how you've messed up. And you think of the things you said and the things you did, and you think, oh, I'm in such a mess. I'm right at the bottom. I'm up to my kind of neck in gunge. I'm so low down, I just feel like I'm out of reach of Jesus' love. He's never going to reach down to me. I'm in such a low place. But do you see what this says? No, this is the Jesus who, however far down you might think you are, he reaches deeper still in his love. Do you see how when you grasp that, it makes you strong? It's okay, I'm not out of his reach. And I wonder whether you've got a friend. Perhaps you've got a friend who's really messed up this week and they're thinking they're out of Jesus' reach. Jesus will never reach down to me anymore. Why don't you pray that they grasp how deep the love of Jesus is, how far down he reached in order to rescue us. So what have we had so far? We've had wide, long, deep, and we're going to end with high. And for this, everyone needs to go back to the people they came with, okay? Everyone needs to go back to the people they came with. All the people sitting at the front, you need to return to where you've come from. and I need everyone in the whole room to stand up. Feet on the floor. No cheating. No one standing on chairs, anything like that. Jonathan, don't stand on a chair. Everyone on the floor, okay? And I need help. I need Tim to help me. Perhaps Ellie, could you quickly help me? And Tim, could you go over there with that? There we go. And Ellie, could you go over there? Or just here. Actually, let's go right across the other way. That's brilliant. That's right across the way. Okay, right. Okay, everyone standing on the floor. Who cannot see this finishing line that's along the front? No, keep it down. Don't pander to them. Just who cannot see? Put your hand up if you can't see it. Okay, there's a few people. The littlies can't see. They can't see. What's going to help them is lifting the littlies up. Lift them up so they can see. You can see anyone who can't see, like at the back there, I think a friend there can't see. Lift them up so they can see. Now, can everyone see the finish line? Can everyone see the finish line? I think they can. Brilliant. Okay. Everyone sit down. Everyone sit down. How high is the love of Christ? The love of Jesus lifts us up high. And earlier in his letter, Paul says we're spiritually dead. And if we're Christians, Jesus has raised us up to new life. He said we've been raised with Jesus. Well, where has Jesus been raised to? Jesus has been raised to heaven. He is with his Father God forever in heaven. And we've been raised with Jesus. So where are we? We are in heaven with our Father God forever. We've been raised up high. Now, do you see how that makes us strong? Because sometimes the place we're standing in with our feet on the ground means we can't see the finish line. We can't see where it's all going. So all we can see is more visits to the hospital. Or all we can see is Monday morning back at work where it's really tough. Or all we can see is the bills that have just come in that we're going to find really hard to pay. Or all we can see is another evening alone. A friend of mine is working in another country where she is telling people about Jesus. And she's just got the news that in that country, telling people about Jesus is now going to be illegal. You see? And all of a sudden, the future looks so uncertain. All she can see is the law and the uncertainty. And it's knocking her. It's making her wobble a little bit. But what Paul is saying is the love of Christ has lifted us up high so that we can see the finish line. From where we stand, we can't see ahead. But he's lifted us up high so we can see where it's all going. And you see where it's all going? Tomorrow may be very hard. And there may be tears, and it may hurt very much. And Jesus never tells us to pretend it's all just fine. What he tells us is, tomorrow is not the end of the story. Tomorrow is not the end of the story. This race is all heading to a finish line where we are going to be with God in his presence in a world made new forever. And there, every tear will be wiped dry. And you say, well, I don't know, really? I don't know whether I've got the strength to keep going. Jesus says he'll never let us go. He'll get us to the end. We've been raised with him, which means we're as good as there. So do you see? Often in our day-to-day lives, we can't see the finish line. But remember, we have been raised up high by Jesus. That gives us a view of the end and beyond, and it's a future that keeps us going. That's a great thing to grasp in our own hearts. It makes us strong. And perhaps if you've got a friend who you think, oh, they've lost sight of the finish line. Their feet are on the ground and they just can't see beyond tomorrow. Wouldn't it be a great thing to pray for them? Pray that they would grasp how high the love of Christ has lifted them so they could see into the future, see where he's taking us. So what have we seen? How wide, how long, how deep, how high is the love of Christ. And Paul pulls it all together in verse 19, that he prays, we would know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. If you grasp this love of Christ, how wide it is, how long it is, how deep it is, how high it is, then you'll be filled with his love in a way that will make you strong. Friends, just as we close, it may be that you've never grasped that love before. You've never seen what Jesus' love is like. And maybe this afternoon you're thinking, you know, I really want to be loved like that. Really want to be loved like that. If that's you, today would be a great day to turn to him in your heart, to turn to him and say, Jesus, you know, I'm really sorry. I never realized how much I needed you. I never realized how good your love was. Please, will you fill me with your love? And when you turn to him like that, when you admit your need of him like that, do you know, he will never turn you down. He will never turn you down. He will fill you with a love that will never let you go, a love that will make you strong. Let's just take a moment to be quiet. Just give us all a chance to, in our hearts, turn to Jesus with our own words, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. So as we sit, let's be quiet and turn to him. And I'm going to pray a prayer of sorry, thank you, and please. And if it's a prayer that you want to pray, why don't you echo it in your heart? Lord Jesus, sorry. Sorry for looking for love in all kinds of places and not realizing that most of all, I need your love. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you. That your love is wide and long and deep and high. And Lord Jesus, please, please fill me with your love today and forever. Amen.